The best in regional sports from Southeast Michigan. WLEN HD2 W243 AD Adrian 96.5 The Cave.
96.5 The Cave. Lenawee County Sports.
Hey, Bulldogs fans. It's time for the AC All Access Show, brought to you by Adrian College and Frickers of Adrian, where we unlock the doors to the heart of Adrian College athletics, including live interviews from Adrian College coaches and players.
Good afternoon and welcome to the AC All Access Show here from Frickers in Adrian. That is right. We're going to talk with coaches and players today. Busy show. We're going to talk a lot of ACHA hockey. We're going to talk some NCAA women's hockey with Carmen Anderson, one of the team captains for the Lady Bulldogs, and quite a bit of wrestling as they, the men's squad competed in regionals recently, and the Bulldogs have wrestlers moving on to nationals. We'll talk to them on the later part of the show at about 2:30. But what a busy day at Frickers right here on Main Street in Adrian. This is by far the busiest I've seen it for an ACL Access show. It's a place to be, apparently. We have great weekday specials. Thursdays are, of course, the chicken chunk special. They have the pitchers of domestic beer specials. They have the frickin' tacos. I had those last time. They're very good. Three different options to pick from. I'm a big fan of the lunch specials. Enough about me and enough about Frickers right now. We'll talk about them throughout the show. It's time to get through quite a bit of playoff hockey. ACHA Division 1, men's and women's, and women's Division 2 for Adrian College. They're in the national tournament, and they are out in the state of Missouri, out in St. Louis. We're talking with one of the assistant coaches for the ACHA men's team, the Division 1 squad, and also the assistant sports information director, Tyler Fife. He joins us once again, and I saw you on the list, and I saw you here, and I go, you should be in Missouri, but things are very busy on campus, right, Tyler?
Yes, we got a lot of events for Adrian College Athletics this week, so my work requires me to hang back for a couple days, and then once it's all wrapped up, I'll head down to St. Louis on Saturday night.
It's a good problem to have, right? You're too busy.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, well, I know. We'll assume Frank's not listening, your boss, but you'd probably rather be down with your guys over in Missouri.
Yeah, of course. I'm committed to my work.
That's right. Well, when you wear two hats, you can't wear them both at the same time.
Exactly.
All right. The ACHA scene. All these teams are in St. Louis. The men's Division One, women's Division One, and women's Division Two. Let's get to how these teams got to this spot to get to nationals. How did your team do it, first of all?
So, yeah, the D1 guys, obviously, we've had a lot of success over the years, making 14 straight national tournament appearances. So, again, this year, we had a pretty good regular season, finished 35-0.
Okay, yeah.
Went through regular season playoffs, conference playoffs, all that stuff. Ended up falling in the championship game of the playoffs, but we were ranked high enough in the nation that we still secured a spot at nationals. We were very fortunate enough to hold that number two seed, so we'll be heading into tomorrow's game as a number two seed and hopefully go from there. So pretty successful season so far, but obviously still have that end goal of winning a national championship.
All right, so even though you fell in the conference championship game, you're the number two overall in the nation of the 2014 field?
Yes, correct.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, so we were pretty
fortunate.
It's
a good resume,
like I said,
huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I think just our long-standing success has kind of kept us in that position. Obviously, statistics and analytics and all that stuff helps as well. It was very nice to go into this tournament with that seed, but at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. So,
all right, let's see. 35 games you've already played, and you have to kind of go through a bit of a sprint, right? The season's a marathon, and then these playoffs are like, all right, let's go. Let's play these games and get them going. So their first game, it says here, is Friday.
Yes, tomorrow. Yep.
And then you'll either take on Calvin or Indiana Tech. So did you get a bye? Is that what that means?
Essentially, I guess you could call it that.
Okay.
The lower seeds play today. and then all the higher seeds will wait till tomorrow and Saturday just to play their first games.
All right. How does – it's always interested me. I've experienced this with NCAA women when they used to have the semis and then the final the next day for the conference tournament.
Yep.
So how do you scout for that? Like, how do you and Coach Estello scout for a tournament like this? Is it just, all right, we know who we are and just be who we are and we'll be fine? Or how do you – is it extra work for you? Does he miss you right now? Or are you doing a lot of work behind the scenes?
Yeah, no, it definitely helps to have everyone there, all hands on deck. But at the same time, like in a tournament like this where everything's back to back to back, you obviously worry about your game first, your team, what you're doing. You know, like you said, sticking to your game. But at the same time, when you have a few moments to kind of prepare for the next game or whatever. You may watch another game, or you may do some studying on that other team that you might be playing. So that is kind of the behind-the-scenes look at it from the coaching perspective. I know that, you know, once the first game's over, if it goes successful, you know, we're going to be moving on to the next one, right? So it's all about preparation, and that's something we're really good at. So there's a lot that goes into it, and it definitely will be nice to be down there helping out. But at the same time, I'm still here, I'm still working, and I'm still doing what I can to help out until I get there.
Okay, all right, so help me. So the Bulldogs win Friday. They get a day off Saturday?
Correct, yep.
All right, and then it would be Sunday, quarterfinal, semifinal, Monday, and championship Tuesday.
Correct, yep.
All right, and, you know, close fans of this team know that Adrian played for the national title last year.
Yep.
And, finished national runner-up, which...
Yep.
It's good and bad,
it's
right?
Good and
it's
bad,
good
yeah.
and bad, but you want to get back to that. Yeah, this
yep.
is what it is. You want to get back there and you want to win it.
Yep, absolutely.
What's it going to take to, you know, get it done in a tournament like this where it's, all right, one game and you could move on, or one game and you're coming back
exactly.
to Adrian?
Yeah, like you said earlier, though, we kind of stick to this. It's just sticking to our game, playing the way we play, and believing in that. If we believe in that, we buy into that, it's going to be successful, right? You know, being a former player, I can speak on that from experience. I was in that game last year where we lost in the final. It was a pretty tough way to go out for myself and a lot of other guys too. So it kind of just motivates us a little more to go out there and get it this year. We kind of just want to get a little bit of revenge, I guess you could say.
All right, the men's Division I ACHA team looking for their third national championship in the program's history. All right, let's get to the women's Division I team, coached by Carter Clark.
Yep.
26-6-2. They are third seeded in a 10-team double elimination turned into a single elimination format. If you really want to confuse hockey fans, tell them about the ACHA playoffs, right?
Yeah.
So
I'm even confused about that one, but that's just the way the women's D1 side is formatted. I guess the easiest way to explain it is day one, if you lose, you're still alive. So
There's
a loser's bracket, and so they move on to the next day. All the losers will play, and then the winners of the loser's bracket will move on, and the losers of the loser's bracket will be done. So essentially, if you lose the first game, you have a second life to kind of keep your hopes alive.
Right, and then the winner of the loser's bracket would have to beat the winner of the winner's bracket twice.
No,
or who knows when we get there.
From there on, it moves to single elimination, so it's just double for the losers on day one, I guess is the easiest way to explain it.
All right.
Yeah.
You can go to flowhockey.com. I'm assuming it just says Flow Hockey.
Yeah, sorry. I think it is .com.
All right.
Yep. Just search up
Flow Hockey. Oh, just go to ACHAHockey.org. You can go there, too.
ACHA Hockey has it on their website as well.
Okay,
very
great.
Simple process.
So I'm sure they explain it a lot better than I can on that one as well.
Yeah.
But the Bulldogs are in the mix. They're the third seed in that. Their first game is not till Wednesday the 13th.
Correct.
So, and they're all at St. Louis. It's a busy time for ACHA.
Yeah, absolutely. They have a very state-of-the-art facility down there. It's actually the practice facility of the St. Louis Blues NHL team. So they have lots of space, lots of amenities out there, a few sheets of ice so that all these tournaments can happen at roughly the same time. But, yeah, it's very, very fun place to play. They actually had nationals there 2 years ago. So it's a familiar place for the ACHA.
All right, 10 a.m. Central Time for Women's D1. They'll play the 10th-seeded Arizona State Sun Devils.
Yep.
So Central Time, move that over to Eastern.
Yep.
11 o'clock on a Wednesday morning. I mean, it's tournament time. We have the Big Ten Women's Tournament going on right now on a Thursday, so it's that time of year. Women's Division One, if they get a win on the first day, they get a day off on Thursday, and then so on and so forth, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And if they were to lose, they'd have to compete on Thursday to keep their championship hopes alive. How far has this Women's Division One team gotten in the playoffs? Do you know that off the top of your head?
Yeah, so they actually just won their conference playoffs. They've done that 6 years in a row.
Okay.
So they're very successful with that. As far as the national tournament goes, they have made it to the Final Four, I believe, once or twice.
Okay.
Probably twice, I think. They made it to the final game a few years ago. But last year they finished in the semifinalist. You know, they lost to Liberty, number one Liberty. Obviously, it was a tough loss, but they've showed a lot of promise the last couple of years, and I think that they have a really solid chance this year at hopefully reaching that national game again. So
maybe they'll see Liberty again.
Yeah. Liberty's always a tough opponent for them, but they actually beat them this year for the first time in a while. So it's very promising and can definitely build their confidence a little bit, which would be nice for them.
Talking ACHA hockey playoffs with Tyler Fife. He's an assistant coach with the men's ACHA Division One team. He's also the assistant sports information director. He's filling in for Mike Prang today. Prang's doing other SID work. He's actually working a game. So moving on to this Women's Division II team, this is relatively, I say in quotes, a newer team, right, at the school?
Yep.
But they enter their tournament 15-6. They're the number three seed in the Central region.
Yep.
How did they qualify? Did they have to win their tournament playoffs, or they just go in by region?
Yeah, so essentially it goes by region with them. There's four different regions. They're in the Central, obviously, like you said. They didn't win their playoff championship. They lost in the final game to Sioux College. But just like men's D1, they were ranked high enough in their region that they clinched themselves a spot in Nationals. So they stayed in that three spot in the Central, and now they're in a pretty good position to be successful at Nationals as well.
All right, and Women's Division II, they are going to be in St. Louis. Their first game will be Tuesday, March 12th, 4 o'clock Eastern time. They're going to take on the number two seed, Dakota College. That's the two seed from the West.
Correct.
Adrian's three in the Central.
Correct.
Should shape up to be a good game then, based on that?
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be a good matchup for them. They kind of just do like that, those four pools. They divide them up. So you start in your region, and then when you get to Nationals, they divide all those regions up, kind of mix them together, so that you're playing different schools that you've never played for or against before. So that's why you see them playing Dakota College, who's from the West region.
Sure.
Right.
Huh.
So they kind of do just like a mix and match, I guess, to match these pools.
It's like the World Cup.
Yeah. I guess you could.
You play your pool,
and then
the winner goes to the semifinal.
Exactly. Yep.
Okay, and the championship game would be that Saturday. On that that week, so we got Adrian College men's Division One ACHA, Division One women's ACHA, and Division Two for the women's ACHA. The men are underway this week.
Yep.
And then the women will do their thing next week. All at St. Louis, Missouri. Excuse me. Go to ACHAHockey.org. Or go to the Adrian College website. You can find it there as well. That, you know, you can watch these games. I don't know if they'll I hope they're commentated, but you can at least watch them.
They usually are.
Okay.
And they do usually have pretty good commentary as well. That's something I've noticed over the years is they have pretty good commentary and coverage at the tournament. So,
all right.
One thing I'll add in there, too, if anyone out there wants to, you know, follow along the ACHA teams at Adrian College, you know, like you said, you can just go to the Adrian College Athletics website. Follow along on the ACHA website or the team's social media accounts as well. Everything will be covered daily, so a lot of stuff on there to keep updated with.
What, Gary's out there tweeting?
Yeah, I guess you could say. No, we have our social media people.
Okay, good, good. All right, well, three teams in the national tournament, very good. Very proud of those Arrington Ice Arena programs.
Definitely.
And, hopefully you can head out to Missouri and have some games to coach.
Yeah,
and
would love to.
Come back with a nice shiny trophy.
Yeah, I think this is a good year for some success. So hopefully we have three instances of that.
That's right. Three parades.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll
be hoping for that.
All right. I've been talking with Tyler Fife, the assistant coach with the men's ACHA Division I hockey team, also the assistant sports information director. And he probably needs to go help his sports information director, main man, Mike Prang. So
he's calling.
Thanks for taking time, and we'll be keeping track of the Bulldogs.
Awesome. Thanks, Ian. Thanks for having me.
And once again, Tyler Fife here on the ACL Access Show from Frickers in Adrian. They are hiring. Inquire within. High, fast-paced work environment. You're not really sitting around doing nothing. I mean, these guys are working their tail off as they always do here at Frickers. We're going to talk some women's NCAA ice hockey with Carmen Anderson. She is here. She didn't skip out. She decided to show up. Very nice of her to do. We're going to talk about the Bulldogs all hour. We're going to talk about the Lady Bulldogs here in just a moment. For Ian Wendt here at Frickers, John Kane is back in our studio. We'll be right back with some NCAA hockey.
40 unforgettable years.
When you want something fun to do, you can count on Adrian College. Visit AdrianBulldogs.com for athletic schedules and to buy tickets for their 50 Adrian College athletic teams. Bring the whole family and experience the excitement firsthand. Whether you're a diehard fan or just looking for a fun outing, Adrian College Bulldogs Athletics has something for everyone. So check out the schedule and buy tickets at AdrianBulldogs.com and show your Bulldogs pride at the next Adrian College Athletics event.
Frickers tips off the season with a trio of fan favorites. Frickers Street Tacos are back for a limited time. While you enjoy the march to the national championship of college basketball on Frickers TVs, you'll savor the flavor of three Frickers Street Tacos. Frickin' Chicken Tacos, Grilled Chicken Tacos, and Mississippi Barbecue Tacos are back for a limited time. While your brackets get busted, smash a personal pitcher of domestic draft for only $6.99. Hurry before time runs out at the home for fun, food, sports, and spirits, Frickers.
Good afternoon and welcome back to the ACL Access Show, live from Frickers in Adrian from 2 to 3 o'clock on Thursday afternoons. I am your host, Ian Wentz. John Kane is back in our downtown Adrian studios. Stacy Mitchell is normally here. She's not. She's out of town, actually taking a vacation. Jealous and happy for her all at the same time. Also, jealous and happy for Carmen Anderson sitting across the way. She is a senior captain with the NCAA women's hockey team, one of many captains for the Bulldogs. So I don't want to say captain. You are one of the captains. Carmen, first off, congratulations on the conference championship and the automatic berth into the NCAAs.
Thank you. It was nice. It's nice to see kind of all the hard work finally pay off when it needs to, and like the final game and everything. And then obviously getting into the NCAA tournament is always super exciting.
You are no stranger to success at Adrian. I mean, this is your fourth year, and you know, some conference tournament titles, some NCAA hockey. This is games like the one you played last Saturday and the ones you're going to play. Or why you came here, right, is to play some championship hockey.
Yeah, exactly. You know, obviously Adrian's kind of known in the past for having, like, a really good program and winning a lot, and that was something I really wanted to go into college and have, like, a really good experience. And I think this year we're trying to, like, push past that border of, you know, just Slats Cup, just regular season. Definitely trying to, like, win the big final thing for Adrian, kind of especially since I've been here and we got to see the men's team do it.
That's right. Don't be distracted by my awesome lunch in front of you. Yeah, and, you know, you've played with very successful young women in this program, too. You know, Jessica Van Ruden last year doing all that she's done, and you've probably heard some of the names. Did you play with Kelly O'Sullivan one
no,
year?
So no, so we came in the year right after.
Okay.
But they were still very big names that were kind of mentioned a lot around the program and, you know, comparison and they had everybody that was on the team had a high respect level for them, that class especially.
Right. And so now you come in with your senior class, and I'm going to throw a couple of grad students in there too, and you're looking to kind of write your own history and, you know, do your own thing in your own unique way. You've won 20 games in a row. I mean, what more can you say? I mean, You're playing some good hockey right now, Carmen.
Yeah, we've been really lucky. It's been nice. It feels honestly just like yesterday. We were playing Lake Forest a couple weekends ago, and Skelly was like kind of laid it all out. Like, you have to win 22 or 23 games to win the whole thing. And every week it's just been like, all right, you know, we have our big number, but this one needs to be 14. This one needs to be 15. It's always just a game ahead, trying to inch our way towards that.
So he talks about that openly with you. I've always wondered that, because hockey players and coaches can be a little stitious.
We're definitely a superstitious team. We don't talk about it a lot when we do. Like, if something does get brought up, if you look around the room, like, all of us are kind of knocking on wood, kind of careful of our words.
But Skelly talked about it, the win streak at least.
Yeah, he's more big on, you know, taking the success we've had and moving forward with it, and not so much, like, thinking so far ahead, but thinking about, like, that next game and what that next game could lead to, but specifically, like, the game in front of us.
All right, Carmen, the 2-0 win over St. Norbert in the Slots Cup final to grab that automatic bid. That was a goaltender's dream to play in games like that. I mean, Michaela was awesome for us, and that lady across the way for Norbert was very good as well in that one. Could you talk about what Michaela brings to this team? I mean, she just came in for 1 year, and she came here to play in games like this. And I know you're a forward, but you guys are a close-knit bunch.
Right. Having Moby back there, we call her Moby, or Michaela, on the back end's awesome. She's super, super chatty. She made that incredible save. If anybody did watch the game last Saturday, it was a backdoor save that was just, like, honestly, couldn't, like, write it any better.
No.
We've been really lucky with goaltenders in the past. We had Sophie Goldberg last year, and, you know, having her leave, you kind of get a little nervous because you never know who's going to come in. Goldberg, obviously, held us really, really strong, but Moby's definitely stepped up into that role really, really well, and I think she's showed up for a lot of our big and small games, which is awesome. You know, she's playing every game as, like, an important game.
When Maya, another senior, put in that empty netter, first off, were you on the ice or were you on the bench?
So I was on the ice. I actually didn't know that I had just switched for someone, and I could see Maya coming up, and I was actually crossing, and I was, like, expecting a pass. Because the way she came up, I was like, oh, I'm going to get this pass. I've already beaten the D. But then it was funny. She said right when she looked up, she saw the empty net. And when she, like, shot it, I was like, oh, Roy just missed my stick by, like, 4 feet. I was like, uh-oh. And then I look up, and it was, like, an empty net. And it was, like, awesome. It kind of really sealed the deal, you know, going into, like, a 1-0 game for pretty much most of the game. But the last 3 minutes, it's really, like, anything could happen. You're almost there, but, you know, you still have to be really careful and play good hockey.
Exactly. Maya said she didn't know the goalie was out until she shot it.
Yeah, like, it seemed like almost everybody on the ice, except for, like, maybe one or two people, didn't know the goalie was out. So, yeah, that was awesome.
Could you talk a little more about your line mates? Coach Skelly doesn't really change things up a lot for his, you know, 1A, 1B line, whatever you want to call him. You've had a very successful season. You're third on the team in points with 33, 10 goals and 23 assists. Could you talk about the other two ladies on your line that help you get those numbers?
Yeah, so I'm playing with Zoe Loy and Un Bellin, which is obviously, Una's a pretty, like, well-known name around here. She's done a lot of, like, great things, and we've gotten really lucky having Zoe as a center. We've gotten to the point, which I personally like when things don't change too much, because we have been able to build, like, a lot of chemistry on the line, and I think it's really easy when you're playing with people like Una and playing with people like Zoe. Like, I've been lucky to have so many assists because Una's just been putting away goals. So,
right.
Like, you know, you obviously are working hard, but it doesn't feel hard when you're playing with them, which is really nice, which is always helpful, too, especially going into these big games. It's one less thing to, like, think about when you're on the ice, one less thing to worry about. And it's funny, though, we almost a little too nice with each other sometimes. It's definitely sometimes that, like, we could have taken the puck for ourselves but have dished it to each other.
Sure. And you three know where you are at all times.
Yes, exactly.
You could probably play blindfolded if you had to.
I like to think so.
Yeah. Talking NCAA Women's Hockey with Carmen Anderson. She's a senior forward from Westfield, Indiana. All right. When the selection show came out on Sunday, you were informed that you received a first-round bye and will host a quarterfinal game against the winner of a first-round game that just happened yesterday. And two teams in Hamilton and Nazareth that played extra hockey. Did you guys have like a watch party for that game, or?
Yeah, so we did. We had had the team together at a house last night, and we were watching the Naz versus Hamilton game. We had like three TVs set up, so we had like the Cortland game going on versus Elmira, and then the Middlebury versus WNE. But our main focus was on the Naz Hamilton game, because obviously that's, we were going to be playing one of them. Mm-hmm. But it's pretty funny because, like, the bracket's very, very similar to last year. So, like, Naz played Hamilton last year. They played each other again. We're playing Hamilton. You know, obviously we really want that game because of last year moving forward. And I think we have a little bit more confidence going into this game. I think last year we were a bit scared.
Yeah, I mean, last year was Hamilton came to town and won 2-0. Mm-hmm. Their game last night was 2-1. You just won a game 2-0.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of leads to it might be a low-scoring game, but who knows?
Right. I think we are kind of out of that period where, you know, we were playing some other teams and it was like 7-3, 10-0.
Sure.
I think those games are definitely in our past, and it's really about finishing on some of our plays now, because with these better teams, you're only getting so many opportunities.
The Bulldogs will play 3 o'clock on Saturday. Because you got the men's team after.
Mm-hmm.
I think all the, at least on the NCAA.com, every game is at 3.
Yeah.
Is that right?
I think they're all at 3. Just so, okay, like, all the scores finish on the same time and they can start putting, like, calculations in and, you know, notify teams and when they need to travel.
Okay. It's looking like if Adrian were to win this game and make it to the Frozen Four, knocking on wood,
right.
I know. Might be another trip out west to play a team that we've already played before, or a team that upset that team. I know you don't want to look ahead, but it's there.
Right.
I mean, there are now 8 teams left in the whole thing.
Right.
As a player, do you look at that kind of stuff, or is that just like for fans and people like me and maybe Coach Skelly and Coach Kendall to look at that, like the big picture?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's always like the awareness of the big picture, especially when the bracket came out, you know, like you know who the opportunity is if you do everything right. And we've played both of those teams in the past, 2 very, very different years. 1 year we played Gustavus during a COVID year, and we only brought 13 girls up. So
sure,
we don't really have quite a grasp on, you know, how we would line up quite against them. And then River Falls we played earlier this year, and I think we kind of went in a little nervous and went down fast. But then that game, I think it kind of showed our true team and came back and almost tied it. So there is an awareness of those 2 teams, but it's just like any team, especially in play of hockey, anything can really happen.
Talking NCAA women's hockey with Carmen Anderson. 27-2, you've kind of just been right around that 5 spot in whatever ranking, but getting a quarter round bye, however you got it, do you now kind of feel like, okay, there's some respect on the Adrian name, so to speak?
I would hope so. You
okay.
Know, honestly, I think we've kind of been feeling that a bit, that like we've been kind of short-sticked a couple times, just because, you know, I feel like in the past the East Coast schools have been like seen as really high up, and don't get me wrong, I think all those programs are really, really great, but I think this year we deserve to have like our foot in the door as much as anybody else in those higher seeds. And you know, if they're going to put us at 5 and put us at 5, that's fine. Like, we're still going to play these games and do well in these games. And you know, I'm just glad we got that bye, because I think that would have really ruffled some feathers, especially Coach Skelly's.
Well, and then, like, you know, how fair is it to have a Wednesday game and then turn around and play Saturday? I know we normally play double headers,
mm-hmm,
when you're, but this is the national tournament,
right.
So getting that bye is
it's a little
more important than, you know.
Oh, of course, and yeah, like, you know, you're playing these double headers and they're all against good teams, but these are against good teams with higher stakes. Like, you want as much prep time as you can have, I believe.
Carmen, we've talked about a few seniors and some grad students. I think what, you know, you talked about you being around for the men when they made their tournament run. They had younger players catch fire late and help the team go. And I think, yes, you need the senior talent, but you need some younger players too. You're fine. Younger players that might just pop up and give you a big goal or give you a big penalty kill. Could you speak to the depth on this team? And, you know, I think you're more senior and junior heavy, but
yeah.
There are some freshmen that play a lot of minutes.
Yeah, so just kind of starting on our D end, we have two freshmen who are, like, continuously in the lineup, taking minutes, which is awesome. I think they've really stepped up this year into that role because we lost some, like, senior/fifth-year D last year that have been part of the D core at Adrian, like, as long as I've been here. So the two freshmen, Paige and Nicole, have really stepped into their roles, and I feel like the other, like, defensive partners have, like, really done a good job of, like, bringing them up and letting them be able to step into those. And then the forwards, it really just depends. Like, it's almost hard because so many people are on all the time, and mm-hmm. we have to sit some forwards sometimes, and it's hard because everybody is so good. Like, everybody can come to, like, a game, and we've had, like, some of our freshmen, like Hunter, like, one game she scored 2 goals, and then we've had, like, other girls score, like, block shots. Like, everybody has played such a role, and I think that's what helped us keep our team so competitive.
All right, Carmen, your time is done. You're off the hook. You made it. It's 2:30. I appreciate the time. I'll be across the way calling your game on Saturday.
Perfect.
You don't need luck, but I like to give good luck to people, and let's punch that ticket to the Frozen Four.
Yeah, hopefully.
All right. Sounds good. Once again, Carmen Anderson with the NCAA women's ice hockey team at Adrian College. They will play Hamilton 3 o'clock at the Arrington Ice Arena. If you cannot make it, listen on the Cave, but I encourage you to go. Go online, adrianbulldogs.com, find the NCAA women's hockey team, and go ahead and buy those tickets now. We're going to take a break. We have quite a few people that want to talk wrestling. The men's side, they are heading to nationals. We have three wrestlers we want to highlight, and we'll get to that next. This is the ACL Access Show from Frickers in Adrian on 96.5 The Cave, 965thecave.com.
When you want something fun to do, you can count on Adrian College. Visit adrianbulldogs.com for athletic schedules and to buy tickets for their 50 Adrian College athletic teams. Bring the whole family and experience the excitement firsthand. Whether you're a diehard fan or just looking for a fun outing, Adrian College Bulldogs Athletics has something for everyone. So check out the schedule and buy tickets at adrianbulldogs.com and show your Bulldogs pride at the next Adrian College Athletics event.
Frickers tips off the season with a trio of fan favorites. Frickers Street Tacos are back for a limited time. While you enjoy the march to the national championship of college basketball on Frickers TVs, you'll savor the flavor of three Frickers Street Tacos. Frickin' Chicken Tacos, Grilled Chicken Tacos, and Mississippi Barbecue Tacos are back for a limited time. While your brackets get busted, smash a personal pitcher of domestic draft for only $6.99. Hurry before time runs out at the home for fun, food, sports, and spirits, Frickers.
Good afternoon and welcome to the ACL Access Show at Frickers in Adrian. I'm Ian Wentz. John Kane is back in our studio. Might be gray and gloomy outside, but it's very nice here in Frickers. Enjoy some food specials, drink specials, the whole nine yards, so to speak. All right, we're going to talk some men's wrestling at Adrian College. They are back-to-back MIAA champions. They just went through regionals to qualify for nationals. I have the three Bulldogs here who did qualify. So we're going to pass the one microphone around. Just do a quick tell the people who you are and what grade you're in, and let's do what got you into wrestling. It's kind of like your first day of class at school. So we'll start with you.
Awesome. My name's Dylan Wellbaum. I'm the 184-pounder, and just got into wrestling because, honestly, I wasn't really good at any other sports. I was very uncoordinated, unathletic, and I was really trying to find something that I could still be myself and excel with, you know, what I had and what I was naturally gifted with. And just the way my brain works and the way I'm able to think through technique, it allowed me to flourish and really represent myself and my heart and my sport. So,
sounds like you found the sport you're coordinated in.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Absolutely. All right, Dylan. All right, now let's pass it to the man in the middle. Your name, what grade you're in, and what got you into wrestling?
I'm Mason Slocum. I'm a senior, and my best friend from middle school got me into wrestling. They kind of forced me into it. I was a basketball player, football player, and then I got a little bit bigger, so they wanted to put me out on the mat, so that's how I got into wrestling.
All right, and just it stuck, and then...
Yeah, it kind of became like my first love after football.
All right, awesome. Well, I'm going to use the process of elimination. Since I've already talked to Dylan and Mason, you must be Blake.
Hey, I'm Blake. I'm a junior here at Adrian. I'm the 174-pounder, and I say what got me into wrestling was mainly it's a family tradition. My grandfather was on our first high school wrestling team, and my uncle and father wrestled throughout high school, so I really just wanted to follow that tradition. I was originally a baseball player, and then I did one season of both sports, and I really just fell in love with the brutalness and the competitive nature of wrestling. So that's what really got me into it.
All right, Blake, we'll keep the microphone with you. Says you're from Belleville.
Yep.
I assume in Belleville High School then? Or
yes. Yep.
Okay. What brought you down here to Adrian? What drew you to this program?
Well, I'd say I like the small community, going to a smaller school. And when I took a visit on campus, I just kind of fell in love with the campus itself. Good recruiting staff here, really good coach, and I like the people on the team as well. So,
all right, those all sound like a winning formula. Let's go to Mason. What brought you from Lake Orion over here to Adrian a few years ago?
I had to agree with Blake. I like the small community. I thought about going to a bigger school, and then I felt like that was probably just going to be too much. And then wrestling also. And I love the way the coaches, the way they did their thing, and I just kind of got a big connection with everyone else here, and I've made some really good friends.
All right, Dylan, your turn. But what brought you from up in Oxford down here?
Honestly, Adrian just had this presence of, because it was a new program, Shindella just kind of started out building his culture. There's almost the promise and the opportunity to be a part of history. Like, it's something worth remembering, some form of legacy, and that really drew me in to where I felt like I could come to Adrian and be a part of something that had never been done before, really. So now that we're seeing the success that we're reaching, it's, you know, being a three-time national qualifier, two-time team champion as a conference, just being able to see the growth and be a part of something new was an opportunity I couldn't miss out on.
All right, Dylan, what do you have to do to qualify for nationals?
The national tournament, with how D3 works, it's a little different from how D1 is in terms of each conference gets a certain amount of placers per weight class, and they get to go to the national tournament. In D3, it's a little different. We have, instead of our conferences, it's our region. And so we got a mix of like Indiana, Ohio, and then the Michigan schools that go there, and it's top three in the region.
That's it.
If you're not in the finals and you don't win that back of the bracket, you know, there's not a lot of room for error. So if you take one loss in the regional tournament, you got to really be able to make sure you check things mentally, get back in your horse, and, you know, go through and do what you have to do to take third.
How, I guess compared to other regions, how is the one Adrian's in nationally? Is it a tough region? Do national champions come from that region usually? Or
100%. You know, we have with schools like the OAC, Ohio has a really tough historical culture of wrestling there. They just have a great group of high school kids that come up and they go into D3, and they just have a lot of good opportunities there. So we see like schools like Baldwin Wallace, Ohio Northern, and then other schools around the area like Wabash out in Indiana, they have a lot of All-Americans every year. So seeing that we're fourth place under those three teams, it's kind of a position where we're building that culture, and now we're not just looking at conference like titles, we're looking at going to nationals, having a successful culture that goes there every year, and then All-Americans and brings hardware home.
All right, Mason, we're gonna talk a little more about these regionals, and I would say the MIAA championship too, because the regional and the national is, yes, you can send a team, but it's an individual thing as well. But winning the team MIAA championship, not only this year but last year too, I've seen the videos. I don't know who takes them, if your coach does or your social media people, but at the Marilat, I mean, that gym is electric. When you guys won it this year, could you put that into perspective? Like, when you came here, I'm sure coach promised you something to the effect of, we're going to compete for a championship. And then what was it like to actually, like, hoist that trophy and then go ahead and defend it the next year?
Yeah, I mean, coach, right from the start, he always had us in a mental mindset, you know, always next point, like, always chase something and prove something. That was like our motto, is always to go and prove something. And everyone kind of bought into that aspect. And
all right, now let's go to Blake here. Going through sort of the notes that were prepared for me, I'll just read a couple things. I mean, being a junior or part of the back-to-back MIAA championships, but you're a youngster compared to these two. You got a grad student and a senior, so you probably saw, like, Adrian kind of climbing the mountain, competing with, you know, the Olivettes and the Tryons and all that. And when you got here, all right, now you're second and third year, you've won it. Could you maybe put that into perspective, like, maybe the personal success or the team success, whatever yeah. you felt on that? It's obviously an emotional day when you win those things.
It is. It's been an amazing experience. I've had a lot of fellas to look up to on this team when I got here. A lot of seniors, good role models, kind of teaching me the ropes and pushing me every day in the room to get better. And I'm very grateful for that.
Blake, I'm going to get maybe a little personal with you.
Okay.
You're not wearing makeup.
Right.
was that the souvenir from regionals?
It was, yeah. My very first match, I got meal kicked right in the eye.
You got what?
Meal kicked.
Meal kicked.
Yeah, meal kicked.
So guys on the ground, and the foot just kind of came up and got you?
Basically a heel right to the eye, yeah. And from there, it swelled up pretty good. I couldn't see out of it. And,
gosh.
The remainder of the tournament, I just kept getting hit, like head-butted, and it just kept getting worse and worse from there. So the second day I come into the tournament, literally could not see out of it at all. But I know I had to win that first match in order to make it to Nationals.
Yeah.
So I just kind of pushed through it, and you know, I got a couple headbutts in that last match
sure.
there. Yeah.
Well, they see it, right?
No,
you know, and they know.
He was gunning for it. For
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, if you see a guy with a knee brace and you're playing football, tackle him low.
Absolutely.
You know, he's got something going on with his knee.
Right.
All right, let's go back to Mason. All right, we have the 174, 184, and 285. Seeing the different weight classes at the regional, how does that compare to maybe conference play? Because you're going from, okay, if Olivet recruits this kid, all right, I got to beat this kid. But then you're looking at, all right, what about this guy from Ohio or this guy from Indiana when you get to regionals? How did you approach the regional to become a national qualifier?
The way I approached it was just to go out and try to find a smile, trying to have fun. You know, like, it is big and it's intense, and that can really get control of your thoughts and get into your head. So just trying to control my thoughts and just prepare myself and kind of get like a game plan for every single match that I'm going to go and wrestle. And then with like looking at kids from other conferences, I think coach does a great job with setting up tournaments to where we can actually go and maybe potentially wrestle some of those kids that we maybe won't see during the regular season. So that's really helpful as well. But just going out and just being confident in yourself is like really what I do to try and prepare for the matches.
Talking with Blake Williams, Dylan Wellbaum, and Mason Slocum with the men's wrestling team at Adrian College. Here at Frickers, we're going to continue our conversation. We're going to give these guys a break. We'll hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back here on 96.5 The Cave, 965thecave.com.
We- When you want something fun to do, you can count on Adrian College. Visit AdrianBulldogs.com for athletic schedules and to buy tickets for their 50 Adrian College athletic teams. Bring the whole family and experience the excitement firsthand. Whether you're a diehard fan or just looking for a fun outing, Adrian College Bulldogs Athletics has something for everyone. So check out the schedule and buy tickets at AdrianBulldogs.com and show your Bulldogs pride at the next Adrian College Athletics event.
Frickers tips off the season with a trio of fan favorites. Frickers Street Tacos are back for a limited time. While you enjoy the march to the national championship of college basketball on Frickers TVs, you'll savor the flavor of three Frickers Street Tacos. Frickin' Chicken Tacos, Grilled Chicken Tacos, and Mississippi Barbecue Tacos are back for a limited time. While your brackets get busted, smash a personal pitcher of domestic draft for only $6.99. Hurry before time runs out at the home for fun, food, sports, and spirits, Frickers.
Good afternoon and welcome back to the AC All Access Show. Conversations with Adrian College coaches and student athletes. I've talked with one coach, Tyler Fife, with the Adrian College ACHA Men's Division I Ice Hockey Team as they prepare for their national tournament. Also, we talked some women's ACHA Division I and Division II ice hockey as their tournaments nationally get underway next week. I just finished talking with Carmen Anderson with the NCAA women's hockey team as they prepare for their national tournament quarterfinal on Saturday afternoon. And we already have some national qualifiers with the men's wrestling team. We've been talking about kind of what got them to this point. Now I want to talk about what happens from here. Dylan, now that we are in this spot, you're through the region, which is, you've talked about, a tough region. Now that you've qualified, what's happened from then to now, and then I guess what happens from here to then?
At this point, it's really just making sure that we're preparing our bodies. The regional tournament is, obviously our goal is to go to the national tournament. It's the All-American. That's our dream coming into every season. Mm-hmm. But the regional tournament is nothing to look over. It's a stepping stone for our greater goals, but at the end of the day, we have to tackle it like it's just as important. So coming into it, like, there's a lot of emotions, there's a lot of stress going into it, and we got to find a way that we can continue on through this week, stay confident, not really change much. We've gotten here for a reason, and we got to recognize that mentally we're good enough to be here, our technique works. We're darn good wrestlers at this point. And so just being confident in ourselves and coming out and saying, hey, what's worked has worked so far. So we just got to go in, make sure we're refreshing our positions, doing what we do, and then making sure that we're recovering properly.
So you're not taking like an underdog approach, like, all right, we're all big dogs here. You know, we qualified for a reason, they qualified for a reason, and you know, let's see who prepares better and is better between the years, maybe?
110%. I mean, if you look at rankings or you look at seedings, it's really just one guy's perspective on what he thinks is the ranking or what he thinks the placing is going to be. But at the end of the day, it's anybody's day at the regional tournament. It's anybody's day at the national tournament. You could be the last seed and you can go in. And if you just truly believe in yourself, you believe in your technique, you believe in your training, you can go in and you can make some noise there. Can really mess some guys up that maybe they think they're higher ranked or they think they're better than you. But if you come in, you, like I tell the guys all the time in the room, just throw bricks at guys. Make your hands heavy. Just throw them at their head. You know, everybody's got a game plan until they're punched in the face. And we can't do that in wrestling. But I can sure as heck club you as hard as I can in the head until the ref warns me. If I come out and they think I'm the underdog, they think they're ranked higher than me, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to club them in the head and say, oh, you weren't ready for me. I believe in myself. They start to, once they get that hit, they hit that brick to the head, they start to question themselves. They're like, oh, I'm having an off day, I'm having this. That split second where they're out of the match and they're not confident, that's when you can take your advantage and you can make the noise you need to.
So Blake got hit by an underdog. That's what you're saying.
100%.
Sometimes,
exactly. But with our preparation and our mindset, you know, we're able to bounce back because coach always talks about handling adversity. Nothing's going to go your way 100% of the time. So we go in, and some of those guys who have been ranked all year, They haven't had that adversity. They're not used to it, and so when we finally do it and we throw those bricks at them, there's not much they can do because they aren't mentally ready.
Mason, it's a long season for wrestling, and there's so much more training, I feel, than performing, so to speak. You know, there's very few matches and very few opportunities to actually wrestle. A lot of it is preparing at the Marilat, wherever you know you guys need to train. But Coach kind of puts you guys in a position where you'll go and you'll wrestle some very quality opponents during the season. Do you think that prepared you for making it through regionals and to the national stage?
Yes, I agree 100%. I feel like Coach puts us in those positions to test ourselves and to see where we're at, and then we'll bring it back into the room and then we'll improve on it. You know, we're always looking to like improve and to get better, and it really helped me a lot because I got to see a lot of different ways of wrestling, like out of my conference, which is really helpful. I would say that definitely helped me qualify for nationals.
All right, Blake, sort of along that line, this is your second time qualifying for nationals, according to the stuff I got here.
Yep, correct.
We're good? Okay. Yep. You never know. You got to double check Prang sometimes with his notes. What do you feel might be different this year than last year? Like now that you've been there and done that, do you kind of feel a sense of, you know, I belong, kind of what Dylan was talking about?
I feel that since I've already been to the big show before, I'm going to be a lot more collected and calm going into it this time. And I think I can do great things this time around for sure. I'm training hard with these fellows. I feel sharper than ever. And I think I can really have a chance at All-Americaning this year.
When you bring that up, getting All-American, is that top eight?
That is
top
eight.
That top eight? Okay. Yep. How close were you last year?
Last year I went two losses and one win. So okay. I was in the blood rounds. Ended up losing to a guy from Wabash. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. With this national tournament, talked a lot about hockey. They're going to Missouri. You guys are packing up. Probably not a big old charter bus, but you're heading out.
Yep.
To where exactly are the Nationals this year?
La Crosse, Wisconsin.
That's the town?
That's the
town. La Crosse,
yes.
Wisconsin.
That's right, yeah.
Okay. When you guys told me during the break, I thought it was like, all right, you're playing out on a lacrosse field? That's weird.
No, it's called La Crosse.
Okay,
yeah.
How far away is that from here?
It's about 8 hours from here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I've done a couple of Green Bay trips, so it's about that
yeah.
distance.
Yeah.
All right. When is that? Do we have the dates for that?
Yeah.
15th and 16th?
Yep.
Okay, so
correct.
Next weekend.
Yep.
All right. There's a big wrestling community in Lenawee County. I hope I'm asking these guys the right questions. Of course, making weight is important. Especially now. This is like... could you elaborate a little bit on the importance of that, and you know, how do you, you know, you wrestle at 174 or 184 or 285 or 210, whatever the weight classes are.
Yeah.
What if you don't make weight? I mean, how important is it to hit that weight?
It's super important to make weight and to do it in a healthy manner too, because you don't want to show up to the tournament drained and dehydrated. So as college wrestlers, we've really learned over time how to kind of keep nourished and shed that weight off in a healthy way. But if you don't make weight on any given day, you'll immediately be disqualified.
They won't put you in a different class?
Nope.
You gotta.
You don't have any. You know.
Wow. So what's the wiggle room then? You wrestle at 174. What's
correct.
Your... Do you get like a couple pounds here and there, or like you have to hit 174?
So yeah, so the
you need a good scale at home.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we do.
Right.
We have one.
Okay.
But, so the first day there's no allowance. You have to be 174 or under. If you're even an ounce over, I mean, you can challenge it with and like weigh in on other scales, but if you're over at all, you're disqualified. So
okay.
The second day of competing though, we have a pound allowance, so I can be 175.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to dial back from the college.
Okay.
There's a lot of wrestling here locally, some very good wrestling. We had Hudson just win another state championship.
Yeah.
I got a couple, three college guys here that have been doing this for a while. If you could give some advice to a high school wrestler looking to wrestle collegiately, what would you tell them?
I tell them it's a great experience and they should really look into doing it. I've enjoyed college wrestling a lot more than high school personally because it's more intense. The coaches and the teammates are, I'd say, more serious about it. It always depends on which team you're on, of course. But I'd say it's definitely a great experience, and they should really look into doing it. They'll improve a lot as a human and as a wrestler. So.
All right. Mason, same for you. What advice would you give a high school wrestler?
Honestly, saying the same things that Blake's saying, you know. Like, when you get to college, a lot more people are more serious, and they want to see, like, everyone wants to see your success, but, like, those people are there with you, going with you through that success. And I feel like it's taught me a lot of many lessons and a lot of, like, responsibilities, and it's taught me a lot about myself. You know, just learning how to be confident and learning, like, how to put the work in so that you can reach the goals that you want to achieve.
All right, and we'll finish it up with Dylan. What advice would you give a high school wrestler?
At the end of the day, there's so many routes to becoming successful at wrestling. You know, there's not one takedown that you can do. Honestly, for every takedown you learn, there's about 1,000 endless different variations of each move. And you got to find a way to understand your body type, what you're good at. Like, for instance, I'm a taller, lanky guy. I can't hit the same shots that Mason's hitting, that Blake's hitting. Even if I practice for years and years and years and I just tried my hardest, you can only get so good at something that your body is unnaturally trying not to do.
Sure.
So if you can really just find something that fits your body type, and a lot of times it's just going out and wrestling matches, using the summer seasons to go in and get as much mat time as you can and just let things fly, see what works. A lot of times it's not always what you think is going to work, but you'll get into a match and all that thought and that process kind of goes out the window. Your muscle memory comes in and your body's going to do what it's naturally good at. So you might start to feel like, oh, I'm not successful, I'm not getting what I need to, but you'll see, oh, I do get to this tie-up, I get to this setup, or I get to this shot a lot. That's what you need to build on. You need to find what you're naturally getting to and what works for other guys. What helped me a lot is watching film on D1 college guys, watching Olympic level or world level wrestling that guy looks like me, he wrestles like me, and I think I could really do that. And then you just, instead of getting your mind all twisted up with a bunch of different techniques that you might not even use, you got to just focus on the three takedowns that you know you can go to. If you master three takedowns, maybe a couple escapes, a couple moves on top, but you don't need to throw the whole book at somebody. If you got one takedown that works on everybody in the nation, it's not much better than that.
If it's not broken, don't fix it.
Exactly.
All right, well, great wrestling conversation, guys. As an alum, proud of you guys for making it to Nationals, and let's bring back some medals and some All-Americans. All right. Yep. Thank you, guys. Once again, that was Blake Williams, Dylan Wellbaum, and Mason Slocum with the Adrian College men's wrestling team. The national championships will be next weekend. Go to adrianbulldogs.com for all the information or download the Adrian College Athletics app. All right. That's going to do it for me here at Frickers and Adrian. We thank them for being an awesome host every week. We do the show 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock each Thursday afternoon. For all of our guests today and for John came back in our studio, I'm Ian Wentz saying goodbye and good afternoon. You've been listening to the ACL Access Show on 96.5 The Cave and 96.5thecave.com.
That's a wrap for today's episode of AC All Access. We hope you enjoyed this exclusive look behind the scenes of Adrian College Athletics. Join us next Thursday at Frickers and Adrian. Check out upcoming Adrian College events at adrianbulldogs.com.